big man in town. It's appropriate music. Here he is, Paul Ryan, chairman of the Budget Committee, congressman from Wisconsin's 1st District, chairman of the House Budget Committee. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Bennett. How you doing?
How are you?
Doing fine.
Well, you shook it up again. Here you go again.
That was
our other choice of songs.
Country's in trouble.
Yep.
It needs people to solve problems. That's what we, you know, actually believe we were elected to do. We see the problem coming, and we feel we have a moral and also legal responsibility to do something about it. So that's what we're doing.
The ad with you walking down the hall, a lot of people think it's the best ad of the year. It's a terrific ad. You make it plain. There's no gloss on it, just straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of did that off the top of my cuff, one take, and we just walked down the hall with a little camera. So
one take,
right? Yeah, it wasn't scripted or anything like that. I just sort of, you know, we were just sort of finished filming our budget presentation.
Yeah,
and just
there's no clear separation line.
He just kind of did it.
There's no clear separation line anymore between Paul Ryan and the issues, right? You don't know where one starts and the other leaves off, right?
Yeah, well,
it's all of a piece.
Yeah, and I mean, you know me, I'm a economics guy.
Yes, I do.
And I can see what's coming.
What's coming? Tell us what's coming.
Well, we have a debt crisis coming. We all know that. I mean, those people who look at finances and look at the economics, we see what happened to Europe, and we know we're next. And to me, it's just wrong not to do something to prevent that from happening.
You've said exposing a situation where your leaders knew something was coming and we could act to avoid it and they didn't. How would you feel about them?
Precisely.
That's the situation we're in, right?
That's where we are today, because this debt crisis is the most predictable crisis we've ever had. Our government is spending so much money that we don't have. It's borrowing 40 cents of every dollar it spends. And pretty soon, the bond markets will turn on us. And we will have a huge problem on our hands. That means higher interest rates, higher taxes, inflation. People get their benefits cut who have already retired. We want to prevent that from happening. And so what we think we can do is get ahead of the problem, do it reasonably, do it on our own terms, use those key core founding principles, economic growth, limited government, free enterprise, and deal with the fact that our government has been making for decades trillions of dollars of empty promises to people in this country. We don't want to turn them into broken promises. We want to be able to finance those commitments, especially to today's seniors. And the only way you can do that is reforming these programs for future seniors so that we can cash flow current seniors and give the next generation something they can actually count on instead of a bankrupt country and bankrupt programs.
Let me go to the end of the story, and then I want to come back and talk to you about tax proposals and then Medicare. Is it your sense that the country's sense of urgency is sufficiently clear that it will take the steps, which will be some of them hard, to fix the problem?
No, not necessarily, because here's the problem. We have to fight against this sea of demagoguery coming at us. We have to fight against a president who is not only not fixing the problem, but making it worse and attacking the people who are proposing solutions. We have to fight against the Senate, who is not going to budget for 3 years and is acting like nothing's going wrong. And so they're able to convince some people of those views. And so if we were all together, and there are a lot of Democrats who agree with us. Erskine Bowles is a good example.
Yeah.
Who are talking about this crisis, the need to deal with it. The consensus we've achieved bipartisan on Medicare, on tax reform, we have that in here in our budget. But unfortunately, the leaders of the party, the president, Harry Reid, they not only aren't saying we have a problem, they're making it worse or doing nothing about it. And so we have to fight against that, and therefore it's less clear to the country what's going on.
You've been at this now a day or two, right?
Yeah, we rolled it out yesterday. We're bringing it through committee today.
I'm curious about the media. Any different sense of the media's reaction from last year?
Good question. Actually, I think the media better understands it. I think they understand how Medicare works, how the debt works, how the tax system works. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that people are better educated. Now, you clearly have people in the media who are very biased and who will take those biases into the reporting. And, you know, I'm a conservative, so I'm used to that, fighting those biases. But I do believe people seem to be a little bit better informed and understand these issues a little bit better. What we owe the country is to give them a choice, and that's what I'm trying to do here, which is the president has taken us off a fiscal cliff. I mean, he is putting us on a path toward a dependent culture, a welfare state, a debt crisis, more spending, more borrowing, more taxes, a much bigger government micromanaging key aspects of our lives. We don't like that. We think it violates our founding principles. And so it's not enough just to complain about it or run against them and try to win an election by default. We owe the country a very clear, principled, solution-based alternative. We're presenting it today, yesterday, today, the next couple weeks, and then we're going to let the country decide what they want. And if we win that kind of an election, an affirming election, then we have the right opportunity and obligation to put it in place to preempt and prevent a debt crisis. And that's what we're trying to do.
All right. All right. Let's pause there. Folks, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to continue talking to Chairman Ryan. You will hear a break and top of the hour news. As soon as you come back, we'll play you the conversation that I will continue with Chairman Ryan. We'll go to break now in about 30 seconds. I'll keep talking to him. When you come back at 6 after the hour, you will hear our conversation. Stay right where you are, Chairman. It's Bill Bennett, folks. It's Morning in America. Chairman Paul Ryan stays with us. Two pieces I want to talk about in your proposals, Chairman. Medicare, this is going to draw the fire. This is where the money is. And then I want to talk about the tax proposals, Medicare.
Well, two things. Number one, don't forget that the president's health care law changed Medicare. It puts a cap on Medicare and then has this board of 15 bureaucrats cut reimbursements to doctors, price controls to live within that cap, which leads to rationing. It also takes a half a trillion from Medicare to spend on Obamacare. We repeal all of that. We repeal Obamacare, the rationing board, the rating of the Medicare funds. And we say don't change the benefit for anybody in or near retirement, people 55 and above. Leave it alone. They already retired. They're about to retire. They've organized their lives around this program. But in order to afford maintaining that commitment, you've got to reform it for the next generation because it's going bankrupt. And the way we prefer to reform it is a bipartisan solution that works just like the plan members of Congress have for themselves and federal employees. Medicare gives you a list of guaranteed coverage options, including the traditional fee-for-service Medicare program. You pick the plan that meets your needs, and Medicare subsidizes a portion of your premiums, more if you're poor and sick, less if you're wealthy. Doing it that way, according to even the Medicare actuaries and policy experts, makes it solvent, saves it from bankruptcy, and gives us the ability to make sure that we can keep the commitment to current seniors. That's what we propose.
Okay. Where's the bite? What people are screaming already that you're going to be throwing people off the rolls.
Yeah, so basically, Medicare has all these empty promises. And the government is either going to ration your health care to current seniors, or we're going to have to give people a finite amount of benefit, amount of money to cover their premiums in the future. We believe choice and competition, wherever it's been tried, like the Medicare Part D benefit, works to bring down costs. Okay. And that is what we want to do, is harness the power of the market, give that senior her choice so they compete for her benefit, the providers, instead of having 15 bureaucrats ration your care. That's the choice.
She makes the choice rather than the
IPA. She makes the choice, and we force insurers to compete against each other for her business.
Okay.
She picks the one she wants. Medicare subsidizes her premiums. She's completely covered if she's low income. She gets more as she gets sicker so that she has comprehensive guaranteed Medicare benefits. But we harness the power of choice and competition instead of relying on 15 Obama appointees to ration her care.
Means tested the amount
that
she gets?
That's right. So as you become, if you're a wealthy person, you don't get as much of a subsidy as everybody else.
Okay. What I've read people saying is that people with severe illnesses just won't be able to get what they need.
That's not correct. They can't deny people based on illnesses.
Okay.
The insurance companies can't cherry pick. They can't deny people based on their health condition.
Okay. Good. Democrats with you? Will Ron Wyden, for example, be with you on this piece?
Ron Wyden supports the Ryden, the Wyden, we call it Ryden in my office.
Good.
The Wyden Ryan plan. And we put the elements of the same policy in here, but I'm not going to suggest that Ron Wyden's supporting our budget. It's a Republican budget.
Sure,
he's
sure,
a Democrat,
sure.
So
sure.
We're not going to claim that.
Right. Let's talk about taxes. You propose what we've been looking for, radical reform of the tax code. How does it work?
Well, let's remember the tax code blows up at the end of the year. Massive tax increases. It's putting uncertainty in the marketplace, hurting businesses. We say collapse the 6 tax brackets down to 2 for individuals, a 10% bracket and a 25% top bracket, and then a 25% rate for corporations. Now, we can do this without losing money to the government by closing special interest loopholes, tax shelters. And it's the folks at the high end of the income scale, the Bill Bennetts of the world, who have the tax shelters, who have the write-offs. If you take away the tax shelters and the write-offs, more of their actual income is subject to taxation, and that gives us the ability to lower rates for everybody and especially small businesses, which create most of our jobs. 80% of businesses in America don't pay taxes as corporations, but as individuals.
All right. I wish it were true, but most of, for me, are the, and I'm curious about these, will these go? State and local mortgage deduction?
So we leave it up to the Ways and Means Committee to decide that. Okay. And what they plan on doing are having hearings to decide. We can keep some of them in this kind of an arrangement. We have to decide which ones we want to keep. We want to do this out in the public, not in some back room with hearings, and get input in order to put together a broader base, lower rate tax system. And you can't afford some kinds of policies like this. We have to decide which ones make the most sense for the country.
Okay. I do think, just comment, when you talk about two rates and lowering, this will have a lot of appeal. You know, maybe suggestions of reductions in amount for Medicare will have people will pull back a little bit. Mm-hmm. This one is the opposite. We'll have an initial, very positive appeal, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And it's pro-growth. What this does is it gets the economy growing, job creation going. Economists all around, it's not like the 80s anymore where a handful of people argued this point. Most economists agree if you lower tax rates, you get more economic growth and job creation. This is the small business tax as well. In Wisconsin, we compete against Canada, which is, you know, right up over Lake Superior. They just lowered their tax rate to their businesses to 15%, and ours is going to 45% in January. We can't compete like that. That's what the president's proposing. We totally disagree. He's using class warfare to sell it. It's going to cost us jobs and growth. We're countering with this offer.
30 seconds left. We have to let you go. You'll get a little break for your next interview. What's the plan? How are you going to roll this out? I think you can win on this. What's the plan to persuade people?
So we're bringing it to the Budget Committee today, to the floor of Congress next week, and we're going to the country with a clear choice. What do you want? Do you want the Opportunity Society with a safety net and a pro-growth path of prosperity, or do you want the president's debt crisis, the president's welfare state, this path to decline in debt?
Right.
That's the choice we're giving the country this fall.
Paul, we are proud of you and grateful to you. This is real leadership. Thank you. We're with you.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett.